this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
Okay, got my notes about Galley.
Yeah, got my notes here, too.
Okay, so you got your notes, and I've got my notes. We're good to go.
Wait, where's Christine?
Oh, Time Siren?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Where's Time Siren?
The Corsair didn't tell you.
Tell me what?
Well, okay, don't be alarmed. I mean, just, you know.
Yeah.
I hate to have to tell you this, but you know that we're still trying to recover from the Smurf virus in the TARDIS computer system.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, well, apparently the virus got out of the computer core and it mutated and it infiltrated Time Siren's cerebral cortex.
How bad is that?
Dennis, we had to put her down.
What?
Yeah, I'm afraid we had to put her down. Hang on a second. Time Siren, how you doing?
I'm not smurfing happy!
Listen, just 2 more hours in the decontamination chamber and you should be fine. The Corsair wanted you to be on the one below our recording station so you could at least, you know, hear what's going on. If you just hang in there, you'll be okay.
Smurf you!
Oh, down there.
Yeah, okay. She'll be fine. Just give her a little bit of time.
I smurfing hope so.
What was that?
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl.
And so are we. Coming to you from our usual recording location, sort of short one member of the team. And we thought it was going to be two for a second, but it turns out Dennis did not contract the airborne Smurf virus. It was just a glitch in the TARDIS translator. So we're still trying to get that thing out of the system. Anyway, I am the mad woman with a box.
I am the awful husband.
A.K.A. the NASA nerd. And Christine is still decontaminating.
I'm the Smurf siren!
Christine, just rest, okay? Just relax in the decontamination chamber. You'll be fine, okay?
Smurf off!
Okay.
She's going to keep saying that until she's blue in the face.
That's not funny.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm sorry, but I'm going to cut off the audio feed from the decontamination chamber for now.
Smurfy!
Much better.
I think that'll be better. Yes.
Yeah. You know, okay. Corsair, can you pipe in some old Fifth Doctor episodes to keep her entertained? Yeah. Thanks, babe. Okay. So, while she's being entertained in the decontamination chamber, we have a lot to talk about. I guess you can... You could call this episode our Galley 1 pre-show.
Yeah, next week will be Galley 1.
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about in that department. We will be discussing the schedule. We will be discussing, you know, a lot of different things that are going on. And, you know, we have other stuff to talk about as well in terms of, you know, just, you know, day-to-day stuff. Dennis just attended a writer's conference recently.
John LA.
Yes, I've been working on some things for Galley. So, why don't we start, Dennis, with you telling us about your writer's conference, and then we'll get down into the nitty-gritty of our Galley 1 pre-show!
Okay, well, Genre LA is put on by the Greater Los Angeles Writers Society, and as it says, it's all genres. It's horror, science fiction, memoirs, detective, spy, whatever genre you like, there's something for you. And they have several tracks. Usually it's 5 tracks of programming a day. So whatever you're interested in, there's going to be something for you. For example, let's see, I took on Saturday How to Pitch to a Literary Agent. Because if you're a writer, you're eventually going to have to pitch to someone.
Right.
So that was interesting. And one thing I've learned from that and from my screenwriting critique class, when I was in college, I went to USC Cinema Television. We didn't spend too much time in pitching, but we kind of learned that pitching was a presentation. You know, you sit down and you tell a producer or an agent your story. What Dan Watanabe, you know, who leads the class, says, it's more of a conversation.
Oh, okay.
And that, you know, they want to be told a story. So what struck me, because we like role play, a couple of people role play their pitch, is like a guy would sit down and tell a story, and 2-3 lines in, Dan was interrupting him and asking questions. Like, and my first thought was, how can he hear this guy's story keeps interrupting? But later he explained, like, somebody who's hearing a pitch has heard 1,000 pitches.
Oh, okay.
So if you say, you know, boy meets girl, then boy loses girl, he's jumping ahead. He's seeing, okay, well, what's the catch? What's different about these guys? He's jumping ahead because he's heard all the story, and he wants to know what's unique about this story. Why should he buy it? So that was very different than what I was taught in college.
Okay. Okay.
So that was interesting. Then I took another one in the Secrets of Showing Your Story. That was more of a literary, a novelization than a screenplay writing class. But that was the idea of how much do you tell about your story or the world you're in at any given point? Like, do you concentrate on a detail like, you know, your character's eye twitched, you know, at something? Because that's going to show something emotionally that's happening to him, or is he nervous or whatever. Do you show a wide view, like the whole world view, where he lives, that kind of thing? How much information do you give your audience that's reading at any given time? Because if you give too much information, then you're slowing the pace down.
Right,
but if
right.
you don't give enough information, then your audience can't catch what you're saying.
Yeah, I've actually heard the expression more than once that exposition kills.
Exactly.
So you have to... I've always had a hard time wrestling with that.
Careful about your pace.
Yeah.
And another thing I never thought of, if you give too much detail, you build the world for your audience, your reader, and you want to give them room to build it in their own imagination.
Yeah, exactly.
So like they're more a part of it.
Exactly.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, like an interesting example is, I'm sure there's pictures somewhere online of, I actually have a handmade copy of The One Ring that I wear a lot. It was done in silver by my friend Mike. Hi, Mike! He loves it when I mention him on the show. And he has the original, which was done in gold. His father made it for him. And this was long before the movies came out. And if you take a look at it, you can see that this is pretty thick.
Yeah, that's a pretty big ring.
The Elvish inscription is all on the outside. It's nothing like that slim gold man you see in the movies. And while that now has become kind of the public consciousness idea of the One Ring, before those movies were made, this was Mike's dad's idea of what the One Ring looked like.
Yeah, that's about a half inch wide.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to that little thin band.
Yeah, and
you think like a wedding band.
Yeah, and it's like a double inscription, a double line of inscription on the outside of the lines in Elvish, one ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, and so on and so forth. So, you want stuff, you want your audience to have stuff like this before the movie adaptation comes out and kills it with an image that's branded forever into the public brain.
Exactly. Okay, where was I? Well, I won't read through everything. Let's see,
Well, actually, you were showing me some really awesome books that you got at the convention,
yes,
too.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, tell us about a couple of them.
Well, first of all, in Genre LA, all the lecturers are professionals in their field. They're not just professors.
Oh, wow.
They have... Well, my favorite is Art Holcomb. He's written for almost every Star Trek incarnation except the original series.
Wow.
And he's written novels, and he's written, you know, other screenplays. So these guys know what they're doing.
That's pretty freaking amazing.
You know, it's not just academic, it's practical. And they're still doing it, so they know what's going on now. So yeah, a couple of books I picked up.
And we're foraging for books now, ladies and germs.
Let's see. One was the Writer's Compass, From Story Map to Finishing Your Draft in 7 Stages. And Story Map is basically mapping out your plot.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of gives you a guideline of how to build a story, how to build, I can't think of the word. Okay, this is going to be an edit here. how to build your tension, your drama.
Okay.
You know, how to build your characters. And if you go through it, there's different pictures and graphs of, like, building of tension and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, it's literally like a math graph here,
exactly.
Where your story's supposed to be and when.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with story arcs and, you know, first act, second act, third act, that kind of thing. So it covers all that in there. So it's good for a beginner, but it's also good for somebody who's more advanced, but needs to refine his craft. That was one book. I'm sorry. And that was by Nancy Ellen Dodd, D-O-D-D.
Nice.
So
okay.
She was one of the people I listened to. The next one was another writer, Nina Amir, A-M-I-R. I hope I'm pronouncing
that
right.
I would pronounce that Amir, if I'm mistaken. Somebody correct us.
And she has this book out right now, How to Write a Blog. How to Blog a Book. And she's coming out with a new one very shortly.
Yeah, you were telling me a little bit about that, how it's all about building your readership before you actually get signed to a book contract.
Hang on.
Edit point.
And she's coming out with a new book soon, The Author Training Manual. Now, she starts out, she's very positive herself, and she wants to be positive, but she starts out with the statistics of how many books get published a year. It's something like 15,000 a day, And wow. Your book will get lost in the crowd unless you're ready to not only write it, but publish it, but push it. And so she's saying, and I've heard this before, a new author is not going to get promoted by the publishing company. You have to do that.
Yeah, hearing that, I kind of like went, wait a minute, what?
Exactly, because you think a new author needs more pushing.
Yeah.
But basically, I've heard from other people, they only promote you when you don't need it.
Yeah.
If you're a new author, they're not going to do book signings for you or something. You have to help do that.
Oh, God.
But if J.K. Rowling comes out with a new Harry Potter book, she's going to have openings everywhere at midnight, and she doesn't need it.
Oh, God. You know, if I get to be a famous writer, and mm-hmm. that happens to me, I'll promote my book in the beginning, and then when they want to promote it, like, okay, we signed you up for a bunch of these book signings. No.
I'm going to sell you a million copies anyway. Why do I have to show up?
Yeah, and so it's like, no, wait a minute. You have to, no. You didn't do this for me in the beginning. I'm not going to do it for you now. No. But no. But no. Shh. Shh. That's going to be me.
Well, one of the things she was talking about is, when you do sell a book or you're trying to sell a book, the publisher's going to ask, well, how much are you willing to do to sell it? And they want you to go out and talk about the book. Go to, you know, in our case, maybe sci-fi cons, like Lost Con, because we deal in that genre.
Right.
Or they want to go to book signings, or they want to go to, you to go to book fairs. How much are you willing to put in your time, not just to write the book,
but to promote it. To pimp it, as it were.
And one of the things a publishing company is going to look for is what they call your author's base. And I never heard the term before. But what that means is how many people already know you, like through networking. Like if you have a blog or a Facebook page. If you have a blog and 2,000 people follow your blog, there's 2,000 potential customers already.
Huh.
So she was saying your book has to be, first of all, it has to be interesting. Has to have something unique. You know, if you're writing a steampunk, there has to be maybe an some idea nobody else has come up with yet. So it has to fill that need. But you also have to show there's an audience for it, whether it's a wide-based audience or a niche audience, but with a lot of people. So, like, I'm currently working on a steampunk, so there is an audience there, but you have to show, well, are people following you? Are you some kind of expert in steampunk? Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And if I can say, look, I've been blogging about this, I have 2,000 people, I already have 2,000 base. And not only that, but if I'm blogging with other steampunk bloggers, so I say, hey, I wrote a book, those other bloggers are going to mention that on their blog, and now I have their base. So basically what the publisher's looking is, am I going to be able to sell this book?
Okay. So I like that, you know? It's definitely something I could use, that's for darn sure.
These authors, these lectures they give are very informative and very professional.
So, yeah, and you have, like, a massive stack. There's even more books.
Oh,
there's one that you mentioned that has, like, exercises you can do and all kinds of other stuff. And we're actually going to have a list of these, I think, in the show notes for and Amazon links to each one.
Yes, Amazon
links. Yeah, what are the other two titles you're currently holding?
There's a series called Now Write, and there's one on screenwriting that I got. There's one on science fiction.
Those are the exercise books you told me about.
Yeah. For example, one of the guys who did the Now Write for science fiction, he is saying there are a lot of authors that can build a world that you believe, they can do dialogue good, but in a science fiction fantasy, you usually come to a point where there's going to be a fight. You know, the good guy's going to have to go against the bad guy, and a lot of authors don't know how to do a fight scene, whether it's, you know, hand-to-hand combat, or sword-to-sword, or dragon-to-dragon. If you don't do it right, you might put too much exposition and you slow the pace down. I was seeing it's supposed to be happen fast in your head.
Yeah, and, you know, as a writer, that's a problem that I commonly have. Things like fight scenes, I struggle with the finer points of plot. But you tell me, you know, build me a world, give me some characters, I can do that for you with my, you know, in my sleep. You know, I wake up one morning, I've got this world, and these are all the intimate details, this is the color of the tree leaves in the summer at this particular time of day. Or these characters, when he was 5 years old, his mother's sister's cousin's uncle's father, twice removed on his mother's side, did this to him. And, you know, I can do that. But when it comes to, like, putting something together and making a cohesive story, that's when I kind of go,
Yeah, that's where these exercises come in. They build different aspects of story writing or character building. So if you have a weakness there, you can practice and building that weak part in your story structure.
Right.
So, it was a very good weekend.
It sounds like it. And, you know, we'll have as much as we can include in the show notes. And I would love to be able to try and go to something like this sometime. You got in through the good graces of your writers group, GLAWS, Greater Los Angeles.
Well, first of all, in GLAWS, if you're a member, you can get into the critique groups.
Right.
But in every month they have a speaker, and that's free to the public.
Nice.
So, and that's usually, it's done in Westwood. I can't remember the name of the library right now. But if you go to GLAWS, Greater Los Angeles Writers Society.org, ORG, not net or com, org, you can see their whole schedule.
Awesome. So I know I'll be checking that out. So let's see. We had a couple of other things to talk about. Just a brief side note, because he's not really Doctor Who related, but he is science fiction related. There is, in the great world of fandom, there's one death and one illness to report. As I don't know if most everyone knows now that Philip Seymour Hoffman died recently. He's part now of the Hunger Games movie franchise. He appeared in the movie Catching Fire. He did a wonderful job as the games maker. You'll have to forgive me. I've forgotten the character's name. He passed away of drug overdose recently. We actually found out about it at the Galley 1 staff meeting, which was kind of shocked me, because I've enjoyed his career immensely. First time I ever saw him was in a movie called Twister. He played a really out there character. It was wonderful. And I've seen him in a bunch of movies since. He's a great character actor, and he will definitely be missed. The illness, which hits a little closer to home, is it was announced recently that Leonard Nimoy is wrestling with lung disease. So he's sick, and that's...
basically lung cancer.
Yeah, well, I heard it was COPD, and I don't think that that's lung cancer. Yeah, it's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, 30 years after having given up smoking. And that stuff can kind of bite you in the butt at any given time. My father smoked for most of his adult life. He quit when I was in the fourth grade, kind of because he had no choice. He broke his leg and my mother wouldn't buy him cigarettes, so he detoxed pretty easily. But he hasn't smoked since, and he got really lucky. He smoked from, I think, the time he was 17 up until the time he was like 40 or 50. And he wrestles with some respiratory issues, but nothing nearly as serious as it could have been. He never got lung cancer, you know, knock on wood. He doesn't suffer from any kind of chronic pulmonary illness. He does have trouble breathing now and again, so he has to use a nebulizer. But part of it just comes with old age and some of the medication he's taking. As I've seen reported, he says he's doing okay. And apparently at 82 years old, he didn't quit smoking soon enough to avoid COPD. So, yeah. Leonard Nimoy's... you know, that might actually have something to do with... a while back, he said he was going to retire from the tour, the convention circuit or something like that.
He was going to retire from acting in general.
Yeah.
But then he did appear in the last Star Trek movie, which kind of surprised everybody.
That's true.
I mean, it was just a small bit, but...
yeah, well, it could be that he was feeling better at the time, so... mm-hmm. It may have had an influence on his decision to pull back from his work. So, yeah. And that's kind of a personal thing for me, too, because, A, I love Spock. I've always loved Spock. And I actually shared Leonard Nimoy's birthday. It's always been something I've been really proud of my entire life. Like, I was, like, you know, 12 years old. I share Mr. Spock's birthday. You know, suck on that in the playground, you know.
The reason I got into science fiction is because of Star Trek, watching Star Trek reruns. That's what started my whole interest in science fiction.
Yeah. So, Leonard Nimoy, you're probably never going to listen to this, but in the off chance that you do, we wish you all the best.
Our thoughts are with you.
Yeah, our thoughts are with you. Godspeed. And don't forget to live long and prosper. And yes, I can do the Vulcan hand sign. So, yeah, those are all the news bits that I can think of in the, you know, wide world of sports and science fiction. Anything else
I got something squee about.
Oh!
It's kind of in the, well, sort of anime, manga, well, Japanese culture.
Share your squee. We do so love the squee. I always love it when somebody else besides me is shattering the microphone and eardrums across the globe.
Well, I'm not only into anime and manga, I'm also into J-pop, Japanese pop music.
Oh! I actually have a friend who's heavy into J-pop, so I know a little bit about it. Hi, CJ! Yeah, he's into a band called Morning Musume.
Oh.
And one of their former lead singers, because I guess it's kind of like Menudo, after you get to be a certain age, you leave the group. And I wish I could remember her name. CJ, if you ever listen to this, you'll have to let me know what her name is, and I'll say it on the air, because I know you love her. But yeah, I used to, like, you know, make Morning Musume graphics for him now and again. But you actually have a couple of things here from people that I'm not as familiar with. I've seen stuff, like, on TV and stuff, Puffy, Amy, Yumi. And then there's another group that, or another artist that I know nothing about, but you showed me one of her videos earlier.
Well, first of all, Puffy AmiYumi is one of the biggest bands in Japan. They were number one for a long time. They had a kind of variety show for a while, which we don't do here in America, where you take a pop star.
Yeah, and didn't they have a show on Cartoon Network or something?
Yeah, a show on Cartoon Network. Sam Register, who's behind Teen Titans, mm-hmm. was the one behind that show, too.
Nice.
He goes to Japan like twice a year. He really loves it there. And he found out about the band, and he decided to make a cartoon out of it. So it was on for, I think, 2 years.
Awesome.
But anyway, that's where I found their music, and I fell in love with their music. And it's like 2 years old, but I finally got their 15th anniversary album called Thank You.
Nice.
And I put it up on my Facebook page. I don't know if I put it on the Corsair's Closet. They have a Christmas song called Red, Green, White that I love, and I always put up on Christmas. That one's in here, too.
Oh, nice.
But the special thing about this is the special edition CD, because it comes with a DVD of 15 of their greatest music videos.
Oh, that's so
cool. I've been dying to get this.
Oh, so I love that.
That was very good. And then the other one I got recently, with the same time, is by Kiari Pamyu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Because her last name is Pamyu. So
Pamyu. Yeah, that sounds about right.
She's kind of like bubblegum pop. Mm-hmm. It's very light and happy and bouncy.
Yeah, you showed me one of her videos for Pom Pom, I think it was.
Pom Pom
Pom. Pom Pom Pom.
That's P-O-M. P-O-M as in Mary. P-O-M as in Mary. That basically means clap, clap, clap.
Yeah, and the video was, it kind of looked like, and I mean this in the best way possible, it looked like a bad dream you'd have after eating too much cotton candy and county fair food. But, like I said, in the best way possible. You know, it's all very pink and lots of, junk food sitting around.
All their videos are very surreal.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're all full of energy and happy, and she's very cute. Personally, you know, in America, a lot of rock stars might have that hot, sexy look.
Yeah.
And in Japan, I guess they have that, too. But they have a lot of these girls that go for the cuteness.
Yeah.
It's like goth Lolita. The idea of goth Lolita is to be cute and fluffy and Victorian as opposed to sexy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same vein. But check it out. If you want to check out her most popular one that wanted to relaunch her premiere, just go to YouTube and put in Pom Pom Pom, P-O-M, 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 and it'll come right up.
It's the first thing that comes up. Definitely interesting to look. Okay, so now that we have that, I think it's time to...
Oh, one more thing.
Oh.
When I was looking for these, you know, you go into Amazon.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put in, like, you want to buy the Thank You album by Puffy. And you get, like, 20 companies are selling it new.
Yeah.
I got this one from a company called MAS 2012 Original Japanese Items. And I love them because... On the computer, on the website, it says it'll be delivered between 18 and 30 days.
Ooh.
And they said it'll be like here February 28th. It got here within a week.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, shout out to Awesome Company that delivers things super lightning speed fast.
We'll put a link in there too for that.
Yes, we'll get a link.
I recommend, highly recommend.
We'll get a link in the show notes for all of you J-pop anime and fans of that stuff out there. Okay, now. Into the main event of the evening, the Galley 1 pre-show.
We are getting all excited here.
Yes, we're getting our game faces on, because you need to have your game faces on. And this is a big deal, too, because this is the 25th anniversary of the convention. So there's a lot going on, there's a lot to talk about. We know that not everybody is going, because the convention capped at, what, a little over 3,000 memberships?
3,500? And that's including guests and everybody.
Yeah, okay. The entire, I think, conglomeration of the convention, including staff, guests, what have you, 3,600 people. So we are basically owning the LAX Marriott for three or four days.
80% of that hotel, the rooms, are all for the convention.
Yes. So, you know, we're taking over. The Whovians rule.
I feel sorry for the mundanes that walk in there because they had just some other business.
Yeah,
in LA.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun to watch. You know, they'll see TARDISes all over the lobby and everything.
There was when I went to an anime LA convention once. They have a group that does Whose Line Is It Anime?
Oh my god!
And they asked for suggestions from the audience. Yeah. I suggested, two mundanes walk into an anime convention. They did that.
Oh, that's funny. So, yeah, that's coming. And like I said, we know that not everybody can be there. But we're hoping to kind of provide a vicarious experience of the convention through the show. So, we'll discuss who's going to be there, what to expect, maybe some tips and tricks for the uninitiated, if you're going for the first time or something like that. And we'll do a post-show. We'll tell you about our experiences. And as I said on our previous episode, we will be trying to plug you guys in throughout the entire weekend. The reception at the hotel, unfortunately, on the convention floor is pretty cruddy. But we'll take regular, breaths of oxygen. Con suite, staff lounge, stuff like that.
The hotel is rather old, and the basement where all the convention facilities are is like a bunker.
Yeah.
My phone dies of starvation when I go there because it can't find the signal.
Yeah, I actually have to put my phone on airplane mode so I don't lose all my battery. But, we'll surface for air. We'll give you updates. Like I said, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, you name it. And I will be on site for the entire weekend with my 11th Doctor action figure for another rousing round of The Adventures of Beardy 11.
Yay!
So, yeah, that'll be fun. I'll take cute pictures and stuff like that. So we'll keep you in touch with what's going on. We'll plug you into what's happening. And if anything big happens, we'll be the first to let you know about it. I know last year, and I believe it was at the opening ceremonies, we got to get a sneak peek at, I think it was a first Doctor story that had not yet been released to the public.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so we got a sneak peek of that at the opening ceremonies last year at the convention. I mean, I think it's since been released. I wish I could remember the name of the episode. We'll look it up, try to put it in the show notes if possible. But again, if anything like that happens, if we can let you know about it, we will. If we can get you pictures, we will. So let's have a look at the schedule.
Go for it.
So, I've got it sitting in front of me. According to the website, as of February 6th, this is the final schedule. There's a few updates on the site about how pre-convention transfers are closed. The evening receptions with Arthur Darvill and Billy Piper have been sold out. So, if you don't have your tickets for that, sorry, Charlie. Let's see, what else is here? There's a little bit of a discussion about the early Thursday fun at Gallifrey One. There's going to be, I believe, an ice cream social and karaoke party.
Yes.
And then, of course, there is the annual convention within a convention, unofficial, mind you, the Lobby Con.
Which is not officially part of the convention.
It is not officially part of the convention, but it shows up anyway. So,
for those of you who don't know, this is something that just came up on itself.
Yeah.
Because the convention starts Friday. People started writing Thursday, from the airport or whatever, and they just start gathering in the lobby, and they start gathering in costume.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with convention. It's not planned by the convention. These are just fans that did this on themselves.
Yeah, it's more like a kind of an informal family reunion.
Yes.
Is what LobbyCon is. And it goes on all weekend, people surface from the convention floor, they sit around in the lobby, they hang out, they use their computers and stuff like that. And it's an ongoing thing during the convention. You've got LobbyCon going on too. People swapping ribbons, people just talking, enjoying each other's company, seeing people they only get to see once a year. So we've got that. According to the website, the weather outlook for Gallifrey 2014 shows that it should be bright and sunny with temperatures somewhere in the 70s and partially cloudy with high 60s on the days before the convention. So,
traditionally, it does rain someday.
Yes. Apparently, all these Brits, they do tend to bring the weather with them. I've actually heard a couple of stories about how every time Robbie Bourget, the chairman and founder of Gallifrey One, shows up in town, she brings the weather with her.
Yes.
She did it this time. It's been raining and kind of weird for a couple of days.
We're having a dry spell here in Southern California. We just get some rain recently.
A little bit, yeah. And we have a couple of guest updates, according to the website. She's been there, every year that I've been attending the convention. Daphne Ashbrook will once again be joining us. She played Grace Holloway opposite Paul McGann in the 1996 movie, so she is the Eighth Doctor's companion, and she's a lovely lady. We interviewed her at Stanley's Kamikaze a couple years ago, like I said, she's always at Gallifrey, and she's really cool, really nice. I like her a lot. Apparently, there's going to be a Young Justice panel on Saturday, and one of the people that has been added to it is Masasa Moyo, who is the voice of Bumblebee and other characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no formal plan for autographs, but according to Greg Weisman, the producer and the organizer of the event, some of the actors might stick around for a little bit, so if you're looking for, you know, a chance to meet one of the Young Justice stars or maybe get an autograph, you might have a chance. It's not a guaranteed thing, but there is a mention that it might be possible.
Generally, they're pretty friendly, but sometimes they have other commitments they have to run to.
Well, on a side note, for anybody who's in the Young Justice fandom, I do know that Christopher Jones is not only going to be on the panel at Gallifrey 1, but he will be doing a Young Justice meetup, and he will have a ribbon for that. So if you want to track him down for the meetup, I think you can pay attention to his Twitter, his Tumblr, stuff like that for extra information. And if you see him, he's got a really cool, I think it's Batman as a Time Lord or something. He's got just a general ribbon he's giving out, and I'm going to get my hands on that. I met Christopher Jones last year. He's a nice guy. He's really awesome. It was great to kind of hang out and talk with him about Young Justice a little bit. I definitely need to check out more of the show. He worked, I think, mainly on the comic. But, yeah, he's a really great guy, wonderful artist. And it appears that, you know, this does happen. Last minute, one of the convention guests has been forced to withdraw. And this really upsets me because I was looking forward to meeting him. Deep Roy, who was scheduled to be at the convention on Saturday, has had to withdraw from this year's event. He's got a new film project in London. We wish him the best, and we... Gallifrey One hopes to have him back as soon as humanly possible. According to the website, you know, they've been wanting him to visit us for years. He's a wonderful actor. I've enjoyed his work on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and countless, you know, other projects. Deep, we hope to see you again in the future, and I'm gonna hold on to strong hope that it'll be next year.
Well, you know, that's what happened to Arthur Darvill. He was supposed to be there last year.
I was just going to say,
you
know.
He got a commitment to work, and so he's here.
Arthur came back, Deep Roy will come back, so hope springs eternal.
That's what happened to Peter Davis one year. He couldn't make it, he came back the next year.
Yes.
And then he sent awesome videos just for us, which is so cool.
Yes, so that was pretty, pretty awesome. So there's a lot of travel tips and scheduling explanations on the website. If you have any questions about the convention, about the mechanics, about anything like that, please go to Gallifrey1.com. That's Gallifrey1.com. Check their FAQ. Feel free to send a message through the website. Like I said, there's details on pretty much everything that's going on. Gaming events, autograph clarifications. They're tweaking the lines a little bit this year.
They listen very hard to complaints and problems. And one of the problems is just the lines for the autographs.
Yeah, so...
They're blocking the hallway, so now the lines have been moved outside.
And they will be...
It's a covered area, so if you're not in the sun.
Yeah, so, you know, they'll be dealing with it a little differently. You know, having been to the staff meeting, I can honestly say that your input does count. The convention runners do listen to it, and they make changes accordingly. So, if you want to get the full 411 on that stuff, take a look at that. Let's move on to looking a little bit at some of the programming. Let's see. Part one of the schedule has a list of all the autographs that'll be available, photo studio sessions, the coffee clutches, which is a wonderful opportunity to get, sign up to be part of an intimate group where you, you know, have coffee and talk with a lot of, you know, industry insiders, writers, stuff like that. A regular guest at the convention, and I see him here on the coffee clutches, makes me very, very happy. Javier Griot Markswatch. He was a writer on Lost.
Yeah.
He was a writer on, he's done work on several different shows, and he actually put together his own show that has a huge cult following, even though it only ran for almost one season, The Middlemen. It was a comic, it became a show, and I've actually never had a chance to sit down and watch the entire series, but it's really, really good. Javi is a great guy. I used to follow him on LiveJournal a lot, and I'm looking forward to being able to sit down and talk with him again this year. Someone else I see on the Coffee Clatches, previously mentioned, will be, where did it go? I believe Chris Jones, yeah, he's going to be in on this, and Greg Weisman, producer of Young Justice, and Tony Lee. Another Gallifrey regular. Yes. Again, I've read still one of my favorite comic books of all time is the Doctor Who, The Forgotten. A girl I met at the convention my first year recommended it to me. I picked it up. I read it. I still love it to death. And Tony Lee is also just like the coolest guy ever. Say hi to him at the convention. He's a riot and a half. You will not be sorry.
And to clarify, these coffee clutches are 12 to 15 people.
Exactly. You have to sign up for them at the convention.
So if you're talking to one of these producers of a show or a writer, You can talk to them about their project, or you can talk to them about how to get in the business.
Exactly.
It's very intimate.
Yeah.
You spend an hour with, 12, 15 people talking to this person.
It's like a panel, only like Dennis said, there's only a few of you in there. So it's a really wonderful opportunity to get up close and personal with a lot of the, the really nitty-gritty creators and insiders that you want to kind of pick their brain. It's an opportunity to do just that over coffee. You pick their brain. Let's see what else we have. Got a map laid out here of the entire convention floor. Definitely.
The dealer's room has been expanded this year.
Yes, again. Because, the dealer's room is awesome. And, we still got the video room, the presentation, the karaoke room, cosplay hall, I believe, has been moved. So if you're used to cosplay hall being in one place, it's now in a different place.
It's just down the door.
Yeah, be sure you consult the map. Let's see. We've got that. We have a map here of Autograph Alley, writers and what have you. If you're looking for an autograph from a particular vendor and, they have certain talent there, be sure to consult this so you know where to go. Let's see what else we've got. Then we have the main program sheets, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's see what's on the docket for Friday. Some of the highlights here, Radio Free Scaro, it looks like, will be doing their usual live podcast. Some of their guests will be Colin Baker, Terrence Dix, David Banks, Stuart Milligan, and Toby Hadoke. I'm probably mispronouncing his name because I tend to do that. let's see what else we got. Big Finish Productions has a panel running opposite Radio Free Scaro. Sorry, guys. Let's see. We've got...
Speaking about the one you just mentioned.
Radio Free Scaro?
No, the other...
Big Finish Productions,
I'm sorry. Colin Baker's going to be there. He's one of the guests.
Yeah.
And, he played one of the doctors. He's more arrogant. I actually like him more now that he's been in the Big Finish Productions.
Yeah, I can believe it. I've actually heard one of his Big Finishes, I think a couple now, and I love him. He's great to listen to. He really is.
He's great in person.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I didn't like him as an actor. His doctor was more arrogant. That was just his personality.
Yeah, definitely.
But in the Big Finish, you do get more of a sensitive side of him. He wasn't always arrogant. He really did care about his companions.
A little bit, yeah. And there may be a little more subtlety. I actually haven't had a chance to see any of the
episodes. There's some episodes
of
comedic. The one with the Petscons was funny. So they don't only do the serious Doctor Who's, but they also do the funny ones, which is interesting to see Colin Baker in.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard any of those. I'm gonna have to check them out. We do have. It looks like we do have a few regular discussion panels. Cosplay Launchpad. What's the big deal about with screen accuracy? Let's see. Journey to the Center of Our Fandom, and Tricks of the Light. Gary Russell's actually on that panel. That's pretty cool. Tales Publishing has a panel. And the dealer's room grand opening will be Friday at noon, so be there to check that out. That should be a lot of fun. Let's see, what else do we have? There's going to be a Casino Gallifrey party at 8:30 p.m. There's going to be a Doctor Who New York and Time Lords of Orange County mixer. There'll be Mysterious Theater 337 with Time Lash. And there, of course, will be the usual parties running rampant in a lot of the rooms.
Oh, yeah, fan parties
afterwards. Those are always good to check out. I've actually never been to one.
You've never been party hopping?
I've never been party hopping before.
It's especially fun when they're doing a bid for Worldcon, because then all the bidders have great big parties, and you have really good food and cheeses and chocolate.
Okay, I might have to try that one of these days, if not at this convention. Because I'm actually going to be working...
You know those Japanese rock gardens where they have the sand and...
The Zen Gardens?
The Zen Gardens.
Yeah.
One party had a chocolate Zen garden. It was chocolate powder.
Oh, fun.
And the rocks were big chunks of chocolate.
Fun. Yeah, well, hopefully I'll have a chance to check all this out, because I'm going to be working the convention with you and Christine. Mm-hmm. We'll be helping to run the silent auction, which I encourage everybody to take a look at. Put your bids down and be there at the day of if there's anything you have your eye on. The proceeds from this year's charity auction will be going to a very, very special cause. The LOSFS, Los Angeles Science Fantasy Society, they do a lot to help with these conventions. And they're driving force behind them. One of their members, Charlie Hoff, I don't know if he's a staffer at Galley or not.
I believe he is.
Okay, so...
I don't quote me, but I believe he is.
Yeah, well, he, you know, he's kind of close to the family, as it were. His daughter was killed by a drunk driver, and it was a tragic loss. It was very sudden, and as I understand it, the proceeds of this year's charity auction will be going to start a scholarship fund in her name.
Yes.
So
this year it's personal.
Yeah.
It's within the family.
Yeah.
Usually they find a charity like maybe Dogs for the Blind or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a charity. This time it's really in the family.
Yeah. One year they think they did the 816, the writing group for inner city youth.
Yes.
That
one.
Yeah. Students Run LA.
That was recent. Yeah.
Students Run LA, I think, was last year's project. But this year it is deeply personal. So if you've ever been to Gallifrey One before, if you're new and you know you want to donate your money to a really good cause and maybe get something cool for it as well, come by and see us for the silent auction. Like I said, put your bids down.
Yeah, let me explain how this works. The silent auction is actually part of the charity auction that they always have on Sundays. But one of the problems with the charity auction is nobody gets to see the items beforehand. You know, at the auction, they hold it up and this is... you know, an autographed copy of whatever, and that's your only chance to see it. So sometimes people don't know it's available and they don't come to auction. So the idea of the charity auction is Friday and Saturday, you can walk in like you'd walk into the art auction and peruse what's there, and you can get an idea, oh, I want this. And if it wasn't on the slate, you didn't know it was there.
Right.
So it's an idea to get more interest and generate more money, more charity.
Yeah.
So and I'm running that this year. Because of all the guests and everything, they didn't have room for the blood drive. We're hoping they'll return last year.
Yeah.
But so I agreed to do this for this year.
Yeah. So be sure to check us out at the silent auction. And also, you know, let them know that you would love to see the blood drive come back next year, because we definitely want to see more of that happen, too. The blood drive originally was an event that was relegated to LostCon, which is another Lostfest event.
That I've been doing for about 25 years.
Yeah, and the Gallifrey One blood drive is a recent thing, only the last three or four years. Yeah,
this would have been the fourth.
Yeah, so this...
But with such a crowd, they just couldn't have us this year.
Yeah, and last year, when we had the blood drive, the Red Cross ran out of blood bags, because all of you that attend the convention are so freaking cool that everybody wanted to come and give blood, so we turned people away. I was one of the people that got turned away. I didn't even get to give blood. So
that never happened at any of the blood drives I've done.
Yeah, I mean, it was completely...
I've done 25 Lost Cons, 2 World Cons, 2 Western Cons, a Phil and Ned's way back, but we never ran out of blood bags.
Yeah, so literally, you bled the Red Cross dry. How awesome are you all? So make sure that you let people know that you would like to see it come back next year, because it's an important part of your convention experience. It's an important part of my convention experience. Because
I would have been able to donate my own blood drive this time.
Yeah, well, and, you know, if not for the blood drive, I would never have come to Gallifrey One.
I met you. I didn't even know.
Yeah,
you were
it was
at
one of
time.
The main reasons I went. You know, I wanted to meet the Craig Ferguson crew that was there 1 year, definitely. But I thought I had missed the day to donate the blood drive. So I was like, okay, well, I'll get to see the Craig Ferguson people, and I'll get to see this cool Doctor Who convention, and then I'm going downstairs to get my registration, and I see this guy in a Gumby costume walk by, stick up a sign saying blood drive, and I went, yes! So, yeah, you know, let him know. The information booth is going to be open for the entire convention for all of your complaint and compliment needs. Be sure to stop by and tell them, you know, hey, we love what you're doing this year, keep up the good work, but you are going to have the blood drive next year, right? So just let them know how much
plug,
fun...
Plug, plug, plug.
Yeah, let them know how much fun you're having and plug, plug, plug.
Well, it's an important charity, especially right now. The East Coast has had so much bad weather, they've had to cancel hundreds of blood drives because people can't get to them.
Yeah, and Red Cross has been calling me a lot. I'm O positive, so they need my blood, too. I've got to take time to schedule a donation. Maybe the next time you go, maybe I'll go with you.
Yeah, I'm O negative, and I also CMV negative.
I'm CMV negative, too. For those playing the home game, there is a benign virus in the bloodstream, and most of the population has it. Those that don't, their blood can be used to treat cancer patients, and...
Well, the thing is, it's benign to adults, but it can kill an infant.
Yeah.
That's why if you're CMV negative, you don't have this in your blood can go to an infant.
Yeah, and you can become CMV positive at any time in your life, but if you do donate blood, even on a semi-regular basis, find out if you're CMV negative or not, and if you're CMV negative, let the Red Cross know. Make sure you give blood as often as you possibly can, because your blood can be even more useful to them.
I've done like 3 Alex donations. That's when they take up twice as many red blood cells.
Yeah.
They don't let me do that anymore because my blood is more valuable to infants. So okay. They want me to do an Alex.
Yeah, I guess that's good for me to know because I'm CMV negative. I won't do Alex next time. I've never done it yet. I've been thinking about it.
If you tell them you're CMV negative, they won't let you. They'll ask you to do a regular full blood drive.
Yeah. So moving on with the convention schedule, Saturday, we've got some even better events running. That's going to be the day we're going to have interviews with Arthur Darville and Billy Piper at 5 and 6 p.m. respectively, if I'm reading them right. No, I'm sorry, 4 and 5 p.m. And these will be repeated on Arthur's interview will be repeated Sunday at 11 and Billy Piper will be repeated Sunday at 10. So if you can't get there on Saturday, you can still catch them on Sunday.
The main auditorium packs like 2,000 people, and it's standing room only. People can't get in.
Well, I'm going to be there with bells on for Arthur, because I want to hear him talk. We've got a lot of great panels, breaking into TV writing, the future of Mars exploration, creating Prisoners of Time, a lot of fan panels, Geronimo, Crowdfunding 101, The Unit Years, and there's a fan-run panel here, Crafting Who? I believe that's the fourth edition of Crafting Who. What's this? I see a name on the list of panelists.
And who would that be?
I think it's me.
Whoa.
Yeah. Those of you that are attending Galley, you will have a chance to meet one half of the Corsair's Claws, or one third, one fourth. We have a lot of guest hosts.
Well, one half, I'm a guest.
Yes, so one half of the Corsair's Closet, I will be there speaking on the panel. It's going to be this will be my third year on the Crafting Who panel. I've been going to the convention, no, wait a minute. I've been going to the convention 3 years, and this will be my fourth year. Yeah, that's right. My first year, I saw most of the Crafting Who panel. You know, it was one day, I was drifting around, so I was in there for a good part of the panel, listening to some great speakers. Next year, I wanted to get in on that, so I sat in on the panel. And then last year, the panel was sort of merged with the podcasting panel and a couple of other creative endeavors, but I was on that panel as well, and I will be back this year. What you can expect from me, I will discuss, you know, when I get an opportunity, the usual stuff that I do in terms of crafting, my knitting, my crocheting, a little bit of sewing, my jewelry work. Last year, I actually sold a few rings I had made. I'm working on
beaded rings
In the pattern of the fourth Doctor scarf. I've been working on beads as much as possible this past year, but with my father's illness and real life kind of kicking me in the teeth, I have not had a chance to do a lot in the field of creativity, so I'll be revisiting some old classics and discussing my newest creative endeavor, which has been nail art. And I'm actually trying to work on an awesome Doctor Who-themed manicure for the convention to show off to people. You know, as I said, I believe it was last year and the year before, my thing is I need to put a TARDIS on everything. I'm trying to do that on my hands right now. So give me time and a crayon. I'll get that done. And please come up to me after the panel and see me if you want to meet me, if you want to talk to me. I want to meet every single one of you. I want to hug you all. I want to take you home and feed you cookies and name you George. So please,
I hope you have a lot of cookies.
Oh, I think I can work something out.
Okay.
So if you're at the convention, if you have time to come to the panel, it's going to be Saturday. It's going to be at 11 a.m., Program E. We'll try to find a place in the show notes to let you know which hall that is, or you can just look at Gallifrey One's schedule. Please, if you're not busy doing anything else at 11 o'clock, come to the panel. You will enjoy it. Come see me. Come up and say hi to me after. I want to talk to everybody. And if you listen to the show, come and tell me. Tell me if I'm awesome. Tell me if I talk too much. Tell me that you really, really like my shirt. Just, you know, come talk to me. I want to meet you all. They'll also have Saturday night karaoke. The Shakespeare Code cosplay theater performance, which that's the cosplay parade, isn't it? The masquerade?
Oh, masquerade.
Yeah, the masquerade. The Young Justice panel is going to be Saturday. An Inspector Spacetime panel will be taking place. He's been doing that for the last few years. Travis Ritchie. Awesome guy. I've met him. He's really, really nice. He was, like, so cool when I met him that I actually went out and I started trying to check out Inspector Spacetime. It's fun. It's cool stuff. And then Sunday, gonna be a little less busy because, you know, we're kind of winding down. There will be a redo of the Arthur Darville and Billy Piper interviews in the morning. Guest brunch banquet, which is sold out. There will be some interviews in the main ballroom. Katie Manning and Nicola Bryant, Mark Shepard and his father, W. Morgan Shepard. panels include a panel with David Gerald on Tribbles, Star Wolves, and the Martian Children. And there should be some more fan-run panels. Tumbling Who, going viral with Doctor Who videos, The British Are Coming, Advanced Tailoring Techniques, the 2014 Bob May Memorial Charity Auction, which the Silent Auction is part of, benefiting the Amy Hoff Memorial Scholarship Fund at Newbury Park High School. So again, please come and see us at the Silent Auction. Take a look at what's there. Make a bid. Your money's going to not just a great cause, but it's one that's deeply personal to everybody who's working the convention this year. And we will round things out.
Oh, if I may add, for those of you who don't know who Bob May is, he played the robot in Lost in Space.
That's right.
And for years, he had a dealer's table
in the convention. No way.
For like 10 years, he was a really part of the Gallifrey family.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you know, Timeshire and I used to have a dealer's table. And so we were like always next to him. And he was just a great guy. He was great with the guests that would come in and talk to the people. And so when he passed away, everybody really missed him. So they decided to name the charity auction after him from here on.
And every year it benefits another great cause. So this year we're going to be remembering Amy Hoff for her father, Charlie. And we hope to see you all there. We hope you all give generously. Give like you vote early and often. And we'll wrap everything up with the closing ceremonies. And get probably some announcements for next year's convention. I've heard a few things. I can't talk about them. But I can tell you this much. If you cannot be at this year's convention, generally speaking, I think ticket sales for next year's convention open a month or two after.
About a month they'll announce
that. About a month after the convention. I encourage everybody to get on the computer as soon as you know that ticket sales for Gallifrey 2015 are coming up and get your tickets as soon as humanly possible. There's a full expectation that the convention will sell out in less than half the time it took this year. This year, I think in 12 days,
it's sold out. Maybe 72 hours this time.
Yeah, 72 hours. And
as staff, there are things we know we can't tell you.
Yeah, like I said.
You will not be sorry.
Yeah, like I said, we can't talk about what we know. All we can do is encourage you. If you've never been to Gallifrey 1, try to make it out this year. If you have been in the past, do not miss next year. And if you never miss it anyway, then just, you know, make sure it stays that way. So,
and this is the biggest compliment to Gallifrey One's reputation, that they can sell out before they even announce any guest.
Yeah, seriously. And trust me, you do not want to miss next year. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to working the convention again next year.
So am I.
And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you next year. I'm looking forward to seeing most of you this year. Well, we're starting to run a little short on time. Before we wrap up, I do want to do a brief plug of where you can locate us so you can pay attention to the feeds during the convention. You can find me on Twitter at MadwomanWABox, Tumblr, the same name, and you can always track me down on Facebook and contact me through the Corsair's Closet Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, do a search for Corsair's Closet. You can reach Time Siren on Twitter at Time_Siren. She tends to frequent the Corsair's Closet Facebook page more than I do, so you can reach her through there easily. And
don't forget, the Smurf has been updated.
Hey, you're back.
The Corsair must have switched back on her audio feed. How you feeling?
Davison.
I guess the episode's worked.
I guess so, man. I guess so.
The web Smurf has been updated.
Uh-oh. That's right. The website has been updated. Thank you, Christine. Well, save your voice. We don't want you to smurf out again. The website has been updated.
Is she okay?
Are you okay?
I'm smurf.
Okay, we're going to switch the audio feed back.
I think we have to put her down again.
Yeah, we're going to switch the audio feed back off, and we're going to get you some more Davison episodes, okay?
Yay!
Okay, so we'll switch off the audio feed. But thank you for that reminder. The website has been updated. We've been transferring stuff around, or rather, Time Siren has, because she is the webmistress supreme, and I am but the lowly, cowering student kneeling at her feet and learning all she has to teach.
Oh, and you can find Time Siren and me mostly at the the silent auction. So come up
yes.
and say hi.
Yeah, I'll be at Crafting Who. That's a definite place to find me to come and say hi so I can bask in the glory that is all of you. And you can find them mainly at the silent auction. I'll be there working it too, so if you miss me at the panel and you can't make it, come to the silent auction, come see us all. You know, and if you just want to say hi, you want to tell us you like the show, if you have any suggestions, we want to hear from you. And like I was trying to say, the website is back up. Time Siren has been moving stuff around. The only thing that's not up yet, however, is last year's episodes. It's a huge backlog, but she's plugging her way through them. So once we let her out of the decontamination chamber, we can get her work back to work on that. Otherwise, the more current stuff, show notes, whole nine yards, should be up there for your perusal. So there's no excuse not to catch up, boys and girls. And
do your homework.
Yes, do your research. Especially if you want to come and say hi to us. There will be a quiz. And grades will be given out. And possibly hugs. Definitely hugs. You know what? It doesn't even matter if you do poorly on the quiz. I will hug you anyway. What else? I think we're good, right?
Well, let's see. The only reason I haven't seen the Lego movie yet is because I was at Genre LA, so there'll be a review to come shortly.
Yes, I definitely want to check that out. I still need to see that movie Frozen.
Me too.
And, yeah, I think that does it. We're getting kind of short on time. We're getting down to the wire here. So we'll sign off, and then we'll let Time Siren out of the decompression chamber and see how she's doing. So I am the Mad Woman with a Box.
I'm the Awful Husband.
A.K.A. the NASA Nerd. And she is the Time Siren. And we'll check you out later. Let's see how she's doing. Let's open the chamber. Psst. Time Smurf? Oh, Smurf.
Oh, not you too.
We released it into the air. Smurf!
Smurf-a-yay!
Oh, Smurf it all. This is so Smurfed up.
This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit our redone, brand new spanking website at www.corsairs-closet.com. For prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, and email addresses, we would love to hear from you. But, Corsair, we don't want to hear from the Smurfs! Stop them!